Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you the latest and greatest in nerdy news and trending nerd topics. Explicit content warning: this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, or even sometimes crude. So you have been warned. What up, what up, what up, my motherfucking nerdy peeps? What's going down, everybody? Christian, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I like your seductive little voice you got there.
My NPR voice.
Ooh. So, I hope everybody's having a great week because, you know, the Nerdy Boys probably having a pretty good one themselves, you know what I'm saying? Ching, ching, pow.
Ching,
so, as the intro has said, we got some nerdy news for y'alls, so we're gonna get into the news. This is the NBR News, live from the NBR in-home studios. Christian, back to you.
Cool. Hey, guys. Cool. So, you know, if you guys didn't know, Deadpool came out this past week.
What?
You know, so we did those things. We saw that movie, you know, and we'll be doing a podcast on it one day here soon. but it did open this weekend to over $300 million worldwide.
Wow.
It's pretty good. It did have the second highest opening for a rated R movie of all time behind the first Deadpool.
So, I read that its like opening was big.
It beat it on Thursday previews Friday, yeah. But over the weekend it fell short domestically to its previous movie.
Okay.
Yes, but also, you know, guys, Margot Kidder died at the age of 69. She played Lois Lane in the original Superman movies, and that's very sad.
Yeah.
Have you seen all those movies?
Superman
movies with Christopher Reeves and, you know, all that good stuff. So, yeah. Rest in peace, Margot Kidder. Luke Cage Season 2 trailer premiered. I didn't watch it, but watching the series. That comes out this June, so, you know, pretty soon. Pretty fucking soon. Shazam also wrapped filming, which is good. They can get in all their post-production and then do 2 years of reshoots before we see that movie. No, that's a joke. It should be coming out next year if everything goes according to plans.
But you never know when the DCEU is involved.
Yeah. The Avengers Infinity War opened to $200 million in China. It is over $1.6 billion globally now, so it's way up there, guys. It's pretty high up in the ranking charts of things and movies.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, and Deadpool also beat out Avengers this weekend. So, I mean, it's Deadpool's first weekend, Avengers, like, fourth. So,
right.
It was expected to lose eventually. So, And then Star Wars Celebration, which is the annual, every year, you know, big Star Wars event that is usually in Anaheim or somewhere in California. It is moving next year for its 20th anniversary to Chicago, April 11th to 15th, 2019. There's no Star Wars Celebration this year. They're skipping this year, and then next year the 20th anniversary will be in Chicago, and that's where we'll get all of our various episode 9 things, trailer probably then, and all that stuff. So,
right.
Yeah, that was all the little quick news. All right, first, a bit of full news. Kevin Feige confirms plans for Ms. Marvel after Captain Marvel. Production is already underway on the long-awaited Captain Marvel movie from Marvel Studios, but that's not stopping the studio from thinking even further ahead. Speaking with the BBC Arabic's Hussam Asai, Feige revealed that after the world meets Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, we might just be getting her most recent counterpart. We're doing Captain Marvel right now. Captain Marvel shooting right now with Brie Larson. Ms. Marvel, which is another character in the comic books, the Muslim hero who is inspired by Captain Marvel, is definitely sort of in the works. We have plans for that once we've introduced Captain Marvel to the world. The Ms. Marvel he's speaking of is the new fan favorite, Kamala Khan, a Pakistani-American Khan joined the Marvel Comics universe back in 2014 as a result of the Inhumans' Terrigen Mists being released, triggering her shape-shifting powers. Not only is she capable of stretching her limbs to great lengths and widths, but she can also grow or shrink to incredible sizes. Khan is also inspired by Carol Danvers, who at that point had been promoted to the role of Captain Marvel and decides to take on her old moniker of Miss Marvel to fight crime and do good.
Sick.
Yeah, yeah, Miss Marvel is really cool, Kamala Khan, and, you know, she's, like, kind of, like, the predate to, you know, what people are referring to as, like, the SJW movement in Marvel Comics or whatever.
Okay.
But she, like, actually was good, you know, right. Like, as opposed to, like, you know, some of the things they did that failed, which is why they're kind of rebooting again and things like that, like, She was just, you know, I read all of her stuff, and it's really good. So if you guys haven't, check it out, and it's really cool. It's really good stuff happening there, so.
Yes. I'll probably butcher this name, but Annette Bening, right? Bening? I got it right, boys. Joins the Captain Marvel cast. The Hollywood Reporter brings word that veteran actress Annette Bening from American Beauty and film Stars Don't Lie in Liverpool... Scouser.
Liverpool.
has joined the cast of Marvel Studios' upcoming Captain Marvel film. This role will be will mark Bening's first time appearing in a superhero film, although she was initially cast as Catwoman in the 1992's Batman Returns before leaving the role due to pregnancy. While the trade hints that her Captain Marvel character will be a scientist of some kind, Variety Justin Kroll claims that she will be playing Marie Danvers, the mother of Brie Larson's Carol Danvers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know where they could just come off making a claim like that. I mean,
unless he has like some inside information or something.
Yeah, I mean, well, that would be good. Like if they would, I would assume that if he had the inside information, like he would disclose his source, right? Like,
right.
That's just like really random to add that, you know, a magazine or news outlet just claims it, you know, it's like,
right.
It's probably not true, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Marvel Studios Hero Acts donating over $1 million to children's charities. In celebration of the 10th anniversary of Marvel Studios Hero Acts is donating $1.25 million to provide transformative experience to strengthen the lives of children impacted by serious illness. The grant will provide $800,000 to Make-A-Wish to grant life changing wishes for children with critical illnesses around the world, and $450,000 to Starlight Children's Foundation to help bring joy and comfort to children in hospitals. Heartthrob Chris Evans and the perfect Spider-Man Tom Holland, stars of Marvel Studios' blockbusters Avenger Infinity War, celebrated the announcement with special screenings of the film at New York's Crevice Children's Hospital at Mount Sinai in the Child Life Zone and Children's Hospital Los Angeles. The grants to both Make-A-Wish and Starlight Children's Foundations are a part of Disney's Team of Heroes commitment to reimagine the patient and family experience in and out of children's hospitals.
That is all, Sam.
Yes, yes.
That's grand news. Sorry about the little sirens that you probably heard while Christian was trying to read that. We live next to like a little fire station, so that's bound to happen every now and then.
We also live in a city full of crime. Yes. I'm not saying that we sneak out at night and stop such crimes, but you know that we definitely don't do that. We definitely never do that.
Wink, wink.
What? Just forget I said anything.
This like reminds me of like the time. Wait, weren't you saying it that like Sacramento's like Gotham? Whatever, but then I pointed out that really it's like Stockton is more like Gotham City.
Yeah.
It's hella true because like, you know, like when you're like driving through like the downtown Stockton area, like when you're trying to get to the four, like those set of buildings, like if you just kind of like look at that little landscape right there, definitely looks like Gotham and like oozing corruption.
Like I think like Sacramento has bigger buildings though, you know, like that.
But it doesn't
more like it.
But it
know?
Doesn't look like Gotham. Gotham just looks terrible.
Why would billionaires ever like live in Gotham? How does it even make sense?
Because it's his city, and that's where he was born.
But his parents, like, well, I don't know, charity people, whatever.
All right. Anyways, Annette O'Toole and What?
O'Toole.
O'Toole? Oh, I thought there was a D in there. O'Toole. That's funny because I know exactly who that is. Corbin Burnson joined Punisher Season 2. Netflix has announced that Oscar and Global nominee Annette O'Toole from Smallville. That's where I know her from. I always thought there was a D in there. I always thought it was O'Toole. Like, that's funny.
O'Toole.
You just think it's so funny. To correct me, don't you?
No, no, I don't. I don't. I usually don't, but...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, sure. She's also from Halt and Catch Fire, and Global nominee Corbin Burnson from American Gods and Psych have joined Season 2 of Marvel's The Punisher. The stars will be joining the previously announced Josh Stewart and Florina Lima and Georgia Wigham. In the John Bernthal lead series, Burnson will play the role of Anderson Schultz, an extremely wealthy man who is grown accustomed to getting his way. His power and legacy are a prime importance, and he'll implement less than legal means to further those ends. O'Toole has been cast as Eliza Schultz, a conniving and wealthy woman from the same manipulative cloth as her husband, Anderson. Jeff Loeb, executive producer and Marvel's head of television, said, "We are delighted to have Annette and Corbin join the remarkable talents this season. Our audience will enjoy them in very unexpected but perfectly cast roles." Steve Lightfoot said this. "I am very excited to have the actors of this caliber and talent of Corbin and Annette joining us on Marvel's Punisher." The Punisher, sorry. Returning cast members from the first season of The Punisher also include Ben Barnes as Billy Russo, Amber Rose Rivea as Dinah Madani, and Jason R. Moore as Curtis Hoyle. All 13 episodes of the first season of Marvel's The Punisher are now streaming on Netflix, and they've always been streaming on Netflix, guys. In the series, a former Marine, Frank Castle, John Bernthal, is out to punish the criminals responsible for his family's murder, finds himself ensnared in a military conspiracy.
Neat. All right. Okay, guys. Marvel's Eternals to be scripted by Blacklist writers. Just under a month following the announcement that a film was in development based on the comic series, Marvel has taken its first step forward in bringing the Eternals franchise to life on the big screen and hiring Matthew and Ryan Firpo to pen the script, according to The Hollywood Reporter. The Eternals comic book series, created by Jack Kirby in 1976, follows a race of ancient human beings created by the alien Celestials with the intention of them becoming the defenders of Earth against their destructive counterparts, the Deviants. The story is reportedly centered around Circe, a fourth-generation member of the group born during the Hyborian Age, who can manipulate cosmic energy to give her virtual immortality, invulnerability, and molecular manipulations. The Firpo cousins rose to fame recently with their script for the post-war drama Ruin it topped the 2017 Blacklist, a survey of the most liked yet unproduced screenplays. The screenplay has since been picked up with Justin Kurzel from Macbeth set to direct and Gal Gadot from Wonder Woman attached to star in the film, which follows an ex-Nazi captain who hunts down and kills the members of his former SS squad to atone for his crimes.
That sounds
interesting.
Sounds pretty excellent, which is pretty interesting because you even said, oh, yeah, you know, after, like, Infinity War, like, yeah, they could definitely do, like, an internal story.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And looks like you're right.
Yeah, I'm often not right, so it's good to feel right.
Feels good, man. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. renewed for a Season 6. Marvel Entertainment and ABCs have announced that Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for a sixth season. The series will return with a shortened episode count, according to The Hollywood Reporter, airing just 13 episodes instead of 22. The season 5 finale of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Aired this last Friday on ABC. So make sure you guys are checking that out.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that eventually. But
I mean, I don't know. I thought like the first like two seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was pretty great. But then like, I don't know, like I just like had a hard time like keeping like vested interest in it.
Yeah. I mean, in season 3 was meh.
season, it's like very meh.
Season 4 was fine. You know, like, it started okay, and then, like, I mean, we even talked about, like, because that's when Ghost Rider first appeared, and, like, that opening scene with him, you know, it was, like, really cool. You know, and then it kind of slows down, and we don't really know what's going on, and then towards the end it gets good again, but I haven't watched any of Season 5, so I can't speak to it, but...
Right. Avengers Infinity War Blu-ray and digital release are confirmed. It has been almost a month since Avengers Infinity Wars hit theaters, and while it's still crushing box office records, audiences can already look forward to bringing the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe adventure home. Marvel Studios has announced that the release date for Infinity War Blu-ray and digital versions, the films will be released July 31st on the digital platform and DVD, Blu-ray, and 4K on August 14th. For its home media release, Target has a special 4K UHD Blu-ray edition, and Best Buy will be offering a collectible 4K UHD Blu-ray steelbook as well. No special features have been announced quite yet.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they already announced it.
It's really, that's a really fast turnaround.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Daniel's like ridiculously happy about this because like he'll watch a movie, right? And then he'll go back and forth on his opinions being swayed by the little minions on the internet. And then he'll be like, dude, I can't wait for this to come out. When are they gonna release the Blu-ray and the DVD?
But I mean, dude, the Predator trailer just came out. Why can't I just watch the whole movie already? Why?
Reet.
Yeah, and it's really that it used to be what, like 8 months, 6 to 8 months, right? After, you know, and like when you're breaking box office records, you'd think you'd want to be in theaters longer. But I think movies are almost now in theaters up until pretty much they're released. Like,
yeah,
there's not a whole
much.
Lot of wait time there. So
yeah, well, I mean, with like streaming platforms and stuff, like I think it's kind of hard just due to the fact that I can only imagine that, you know, it probably won't be on the streaming platform for another 6 to 8 months, more than likely, giving a chance for them to make Blu-ray and DVD sales and, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
But I imagine with the streaming platforms now, you know, all those sales are just plummeting, like, you know, so it's like, I feel like they might be trying to like set the trend of like bringing it out quicker. That way they can, you know, make their sales and then put it on the streaming platforms. And then, you know,
right.
That's why I kind of think that that's kind of happening.
Yeah. But I mean, that's good. I mean, I'll definitely be buying that a Blu-ray.
You didn't you?
Yeah. All right. So, well,
just real quick, yes. I do know that the Black Panther one just came out like what, like last week. Yeah. And they have like a bunch of different versions. So, be on the lookout for that. They have them like everywhere.
Might
Target,
actually go
Walmart,
to
Best Buy
after this to go see if they still have the steelbook.
Sick.
So, yes, transitioning into some Star Wars news, Jon Favreau confirms the setting and script status of Star Wars series. Lucasfilm announced in March that producer, actor, and director Jon Favreau from Iron Man and The Jungle Book has signed on to executive produce and write a live-action Star Wars TV series for Disney's new direct-to-consumer platform. Now he has confirmed that development is pretty far along, with half of Season 1 scripts already written, and told Nerdist that the series will take place 7 years after the Battle of Endor in Return of the Jedi. Favreau also stated that the show will feature all new characters and use cutting-edge CGI and motion capture technology similar to his The Jungle Book and Lion King movies. He said, I've written half of the season already for the new Star Wars show that I'm working on. He confirmed that on the red carpet. This news is sure to excite fans, as the period between Episode 6 and Episode 7 is fertile ground, with only a few brief flashbacks and backstory exposition in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi to imply what went on in that part of the timeline between The Empire's Fall and the Rise of the First Order. Lucasfilm also recently announced a new animated series taking place just before the events of Star Wars The Force Awakens, titled Star Wars Resistance, which will have an anime-inspired look and debut this fall. We told you that full bit of news on our last podcast, so if you want to hear that, go check it out. Disney's collaborations with Favreau extend back a decade, when he helped launch the Marvel Cinematic Universe as director of Iron Man and Iron Man 2, and as an executive producer of the Iron Man and Avengers films for Marvel Studios. For Disney, he directed and produced the massively successful The Jungle Book, which won an Academy Award for its groundbreaking visual effects. He is currently in production on Disney's highly anticipated reimagining of The Lion King, set for release in 2019. Favreau is no stranger to the Star Wars galaxy, having voiced the Mandalorian Pre Vizsla in the Star Wars The Clone Wars animated series and as the CG creature Rio Durant in the upcoming Solo, A Star Wars Story. The entitled Star Wars live-action series does not yet have a release date, but the Disney direct-to-consumer platform will launch late 2019.
Yeah, I mean,
we've talked about this time period. You know, I don't know if we talked about it necessarily on the podcast, but I know we've talked about it between each other pretty extensively, and you know how the First Order came to be, why it's not the Empire, but it's trying to be the Empire, and you know all that stuff. So you know, it makes sense that they would do this, but. You know, does it disappoint you that it probably won't center around any of our regular heroes, Luke, Leia, Han, any of that? Does it bother you that we still aren't getting any Old Republic stuff?
I mean, it's annoying that's not Old Republic stuff, but I would definitely be happy to just depart from the main story and just start something new, you know?
Maybe it'll focus more on Snoke as well.
Right, or maybe they'll just do like something really cool and, you know, reimagine how we understand, you know, the Force and all that stuff, and
yeah
get away from the whole resistance type movement in movies. I'm quite tired of those storylines.
I think it's going to be similar, but it's going to be more of like in the trenches and the wars, and like, you know, if you think back to, you know, reading the Darth Bane series and like Dez being part of like the Sith army, but like
right.
It wasn't like, you know, all Siths, like they're like actual like soldiers, like right. An army kind of, and like the different things they do and the missions they have, and like military kind of strategic show rather than this.
I would be happy with that. Right. I would be quite happy with that. But it's just so sick of like just the same stories. I don't know.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like, man, you know, your underdogs that. And overcoming and,
right.
You know, being chased down by this big evil entity all the time. And, you know, right. It's like, more so like not, you know, we're not dealing with our big heroes and our big, you know, smugglers and princesses and all this stuff. Like, you know, when if we're focusing more on the little guy, like the day-to-day life of people that have no business being caught up in a war that they're inevitably caught up in, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd just be happy with just something new, right? Like just away from the original storyline.
Yeah.
Like get away from like the Skywalkers and all that stuff. And, you know, as much as I do enjoy that stuff, it's time to move in a new direction, guys. You know, if you're gonna keep this franchise, you know, like keep it going, you know,
fresh.
Like, yeah, keeping it fresh and stuff. You know, you got to move away from that family and, you know, just follow new storylines and explore, you know, different parts of the galaxy and different things, you know.
Right.
So,
and I have faith in Jon Favreau.
Oh yeah, man. He's excellent with almost anything he touches.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. So, in some DC news, Pennyworth Batman prequel series set at Epix. The DC Entertainment Universe continues to grow as the MGM-owned premium cable network Epix has handed out a 10-episode straight-to-series order for Pennyworth, a Batman prequel that will tell the origin stories of the Caped Crusader's best friend and butler, Alfred Pennyworth. This sounds awful. The drama helms from Gotham showrunner Bruno Heller and based on DC character created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger. The series is not a Gotham spinoff, but is reportedly an entirely new story exploring Alfred's origin as a former British SAS soldier who forms a secret company and goes to work with Bruce's billionaire father, Thomas Wayne. And in 1960s London, Sean Pertwee, yeah, okay, who plays Alfred on Fox's recently renewed Gotham, is not involved with the new project. Heller will serve as a writer and executive producer on Pennyworth, which marks a reunion with Gotham's Danny Cannon, who is also executive producing and will direct the pilot. Casting for the series has not yet begun, and production will begin later this year, as soon as they get some cast members.
Maybe.
A series... what? A series premiere is slated for 2019 as soon as I get some cast members. EPIX president Michael Wright said a genuine fans of these classic DC characters, as well as incredibly talented Bruno Heller and Danny Cannon, we couldn't be more excited to make EPIX the home of the series. We can't wait to work with Bruno and Danny, along with Peter Roth, Susan Ravner, Brett Paul, and the team at Warner Horizon, I don't know what the hell that is, on this fantastic origin story. Michael and his colleagues have created the perfect venue for the original storytelling, and all of us working on Pennyworth are thrilled to be on the EPIX slate.
Okay,
so let's get into a little bit, right?
This falls under the category of things we never asked for.
Right, like, I think... like exploring like an origin within like the guise of like another character story, you know, is fine. Like how you learn a lot of, you know, Alfred's like backstory in the Gotham series. Like he's a very interesting character, but never did I once sit there and be like, oh yeah, I want a solo series of his past.
Mentioning Solo, that falls under the same category as well. We never, nobody, who asked for a Han Solo movie, you know?
Right, like I mean, I know I didn't.
I mean, like, look, just because we didn't ask for it doesn't mean it's going to be bad, and, you know, we'll probably still watch it eventually, right. Like, if it's for free, because I'm not subscribing to Epix or Epix or whatever it is, I'm not subscribing to that, so if it's available on, like, something else later on, Hulu, whatever, I'll probably watch it. And who knows? It could be fucking amazing. We don't really know at this point, but...
I mean, it could be great, but then it could also fail from the crippling need of everyone wanting to see Batman.
Right.
Like, I mean... which is overly difficult to do, and I think much of why Gotham has been either a hit-or-miss series for most people...
And which is why Gotham also... you know, we talked about it early on. If they don't do a time jump or something, it won't work really well. And then they kind of didn't, but then they've accelerated things in a way where, like, they're tying in people that this is essentially the Joker. This, look, we have Solomon Grundy. We have the Riddler. We have the Penguin. We have Catwoman. We have everyone. We just have everyone from Batman, but no Batman. Just a little preteen kid who wants to be Batman one day, right. You know? Like, they had to do that.
And let me tell you something, right? What is EPIX? Like, you know, like, this is the first time I'm even hearing this company. Who the hell is Warner Horizon? I'm just like, you know how, like, I automatically read it as Warner Brothers? I was just like, that's what I thought. And then I, like, looking at it, I'm like, oh, wait, that says Warner Horizon. What?
Maybe Warner Horizon is one of the Warner Brothers.
Yeah, maybe it's like a subsidiary of them or, you know, just like another, like, tying in company of some sort.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, it's... I don't have much faith in this show. I probably won't watch it, to be honest. I mean, I don't have interest in, you know, Alfred is a fine character, and he's a great character in the Batman story, you know, and you love Alfred, but you never want, like, Alfred to have his own comic book. Like, you never want, like, Alfred to have his own show or movie. Like, why are you guys doing this?
Right. There are plenty of characters that work in their zones and... not on their own, so.
Right.
Anyway, Greg Berlanti's Doom Patrol greenlit at DC Universe Digital Service. Greg Berlanti's latest project, adding on to his TV record of 13 total scripted series, is the one-hour live-action series Doom Patrol, set to debut in 2019 on the DC Universe Digital Service. Doom Patrol is a reimagining of one of DC's most beloved group of outcast superheroes, Robot Man, Negative Man, Elastigirl, and Crazy Jane, led by modern-day mad scientist Dr. Niles Calder, aka The Chief. By the way, most beloved group of outcast superheroes, I would not agree with that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. They're overselling it, guys.
Yeah. I would say, like, maybe The Outsiders or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The Doom Patrol's members each suffered horrible accidents that gave them superhuman abilities, but also left them scarred and disfigured. Traumatized and downtrodden, the team found purpose through the Chief, who brought them together to investigate the weirdest phenomena in existence and to protect Earth from what they find. Part support group, part superhero team, the Doom Patrol is a band of superpowered freaks who fight for a world that wants nothing to do with them. Picking up after the events of Titans, Doom Patrol will find these reluctant heroes in a place they never expected to be, called to action by none other than Cyborg, who comes to them with a mission hard to refuse, but with warning that it is hard to ignore. Their lives will never, ever be the same. The Doom Patrol characters will appear in the fifth episode of Berlanti's DC Universe live-action drama, Titans, with Bruno Bichir, April Bowlby, Jack Michaels, and Dwayne Murphy starring. The direct-to-series order of 13 episodes will be written by Supernatural's Jeremy Carver, and will be executive produced by Berlanti, Jeff Johns, Jeremy Carver, and Shara Schechter. DC Universe recently announced that another live-action series, Swamp Thing, is being developed for the digital service. The series is being executive produced by James Wan from the Conjuring Universe, Saw franchise, and the Tommyknockers. He's also doing Aquaman for him later this year, and will debut in 2019. So, Doomtroll?
I mean, it sounds, like, interesting enough, right? But, I mean... Is it weird that, like, the mention of Swamp Thing got me way more excited?
Yeah, no, it's not weird. When they, like, everything they say in there, like, it sounds great, but it's like, you could say that about everyone. That, oh, right. a team of heroes defending the Earth that no one asked for. That's pretty much every hero ever.
Right, exactly. Like,
no one's out there just like, dude, you know what would be great? If we had fucking teenagers beating the shit out of it, criminals on the streets.
Street. Okay. So, in some other news, the CW primetime schedule for 2018 and 2019. The CW has announced its 2018 and 2019 primetime schedule, expanding to a six-night Sunday through Friday schedule with 12 hours of original scripted series across the week in primetime this fall. So, the schedule goes as follows. On Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. is Supergirl, which is a new night for Supergirl. And then from 9 to 10, you have Charmed, which is the new series, and it looks awful.
Which also no one asked for.
Right? Leave Charmed alone. Monday night at 8 to 9 p.m., DC's Legends of Tomorrow. And from 9 to 10 p.m., Arrow, which is a new night.
Yes, it's
they're just maneuvering that show all around.
Was Arrow on Fridays this year, or was it Thursdays?
It was on Thursday, so it was Wednesday originally, then it moved to Thursday.
Yeah,
and now they're moving it back, they're moving it earlier into the week to Monday,
which I think is good.
Right. Tuesday is 8 to 9 p.m. is The Flash, and from 9 to 10 Black Lightning, which is a great show so far. We're pretty far into it, and if you guys haven't checked it, it's already on Netflix. Go check out season one. Definitely worth the watch.
And also worth mentioning, Tuesday is the CW's most viewed night. So
that doesn't surprise me.
That is why we're getting
those
shows.
I would assume that Wednesday is their second most viewed night because from 8 to 9 p.m. is Riverdale. Right. Riverdale is amazing. I can't wait for that series to be on Netflix. Well, I mean, they already have season one on Netflix, but
we
need season two now, guys. Pick it up. Hurry up.
Hurry.
From 9 to 10 is All American, which is a new series. I know nothing about that.
Me neither.
Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m., Supernatural. That show is still going, guys. Going strong,
what is
baby.
It? Series season 14?
I think so. I haven't catched up on the newest season. From 9 to 10 p.m. is Legacies, a new series. I don't know anything about that. Friday, where shows go to die.
Yep.
8 to 9 p.m. is Dynasty, and 9 to 10 p.m. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Don't care about any of that crap.
Yeah, because they're not going to be on very long.
Right.
So, yeah, a pretty exciting schedule. I mean, geez, it's like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday.
Mark my words.
It's just everything.
Mark my words. I called it when Arrow was the only show, and then they announced The Flash. I called it then. I said they will eventually get to seven nights.
Well, yeah, and now it's, you know, shows like it used to be like one show, kind of like, you know, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but now it's like Monday is Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow. Tuesday is Flash and Black Lightning. Like, this is just insanity, dude. It's great. I love it.
I love the CW for embarking on this grand journey of nerdy.
Yeah. And speaking of the CW, they're going to be introducing Batwoman in the superhero crossover this fall. Batwoman is officially coming to the CW this fall in another superhero crossover event, effectively adding the city of Gotham into the Arrowverse, said CW boss Mark Pedowitz, adding, "This will be another full-throttle action-packed adventure." Stephen Amell from Arrow announced the news during the network's upfront presentation today, not today, some other time, saying, "Can I do a Stephen Amell voice?"
You can try.
We're incredibly excited to announce that we'll be doing another crossover event this fall on the CW, and we'll be introducing a new character. For the very first time appearing, we'll be fighting alongside Batwoman, which is terrific. The crossover is going to make it to air in December. I need to leave right now and start filming it.
Okay. Nope. Failed. Failed.
So, for me, Stephen Amell's acting, it like, he starts really slow, and then it really gets into it, and it's really great.
You but started
I did opposite.
Opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he'll be like, I don't know, Felicity. Something, something. Save the city!
Save the city!
Yeah. Anyway, Batwoman, a.k.a. Kate Kane, is one of several vigilantes who protect Gotham, and also one of several people in Batman with the last name Kane, but mostly all spelled differently. The character was first introduced in Detective Comics in 1956 and was reimagined for DC Comics New 52 as a Jewish lesbian. Oh, calm down, guys. Don't stop listening, okay? It's okay. It's okay.
It's all right.
Are you all there still? Okay. Kane is a wealthy heiress who becomes okay, because she's Jewish, she's wealthy. This is stereotyping at this point. Who is inspired by Batman and chooses to also put her wealth and resources towards a campaign to fight crime as a mass vigilante in her home of Gotham City. Arrow and the Flash have both teased that Gotham City did exist in the Arrowverse, such as when ML's Oliver Queen name dropped Bruce Wayne during this season of Arrow. The next CW crossover event is set to air in December 2018. I like Batwoman quite a lot, to be honest with you guys.
Yeah.
She's great. The fact that she is essentially just a Jewish lesbian female Batman doesn't really matter.
Okay. I mean, I literally just said that they're going to move to Seven Nights. I mean,
let's get a Batwoman series, guys.
That's
let's
exactly what's going to happen.
A full order Batwoman series.
Probably because Fox owns the TV rights to Batman, more than likely. The CW probably won't be able to do an actual Batman story. So that's probably why they're going to go with Batwoman.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense to me. Okay, so in some other, nerdy news, Birds of Prey film may be an R-rated girl gang film. In an interview with Collider, actress Margot Robbie from
everything.
Suicide Squad and Terminal and some
The
other
Wolf
good
on
stuff.
Wall Street.
Oh, yeah, she was awesome in that one.
Was she now?
Yes, revealed her ideas for what she would like to tackle as development on the Birds of Prey style project moves forward. She said, "I pitched the idea of an R-rated girl gang film, including Harley, because I was like, Harley needs friends. Harley loves interacting with people, so don't ever make her do a standalone film. Probably because she's just not interesting enough to do that." She got to be with other people. It would be a girl gang. It wasn't seeing enough girl gangs on screen, especially in the action space. So that was always a big part of it.
Shouldn't be joining a gang.
She talks very weird.
Well, she's Australian. What do you expect? Yeah.
It was also revealed in the interview that having a female director was important for Robbie. Last month, Warner Brothers tapped female director Kathy Yan from Dead Pigs. Never heard of it or seen it, and don't probably want to hear about it or see it.
Do you think that movie, is it a movie, Dead Pigs? Do you think that was done by my grandpa?
It's funny. It's an inside joke.
We'll tell the story after this.
So director Kathy Yan from Dead Pigs to direct Birds of Prey film. She will be the first female Asian director to helm a superhero film, which, in our opinion, does not matter.
Yeah.
The Birds of Prey style project was initially announced ahead of the release of Suicide Squad in summer of 2016, with Warner Brothers developing the film with Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn as the villain and featuring a number of female DC characters, with the likes of Batgirl and Birds of Prey reportedly also in the mix for the film. The script was penned by Christina Hodson from Bumblebee, who was recently announced to take over the script duties on DC's Batgirl solo movie after Joss Whedon's departure. Robbie herself was the springboard for the project, having fallen for the pantheon of DC female characters in her extensive research for the role of Harley Quinn. The Birds of Prey project will now apparently take priority as the next film to feature in the popular Quinn character, with production expected to begin at the end of 2018 or early 2019. A Suicide Squad sequel to be directed by Gavin O'Connor is also in active development, but Glenn Ficarra and John Requaz, Harley Quinn vs. the Joker romance movie, and David Ayer's Gotham City Sirens now appear to be on the back burner.
Well, good, because that all sounds
awful. They're just trying to push, like, this Harley Quinn thing just to an entirely new level. Like, they're trying to plaster her everywhere, and, like, she's good and fine, like, in the comics, but she's so overhyped, and I'm so sick of her.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, she had her spotlight with Bruce Timm in the 90s and stuff, so that's what all we really need, to be honest.
Right.
But, like, I don't really get it, to be honest. Also, when you mention things, like, just like in the previous article, where you have to point out that these are female, Asians, and lesbians, and Jewish, that's more racist than just,
right,
like,
or sexist.
You don't say, Joss Whedon, proclaimed white feminist, is working on, like, you don't say that, you know? Like, when it's a white person, you don't sit there and say, white director, white writer. Even if it's a black male, they don't say, you know, black, you know what, but, like, all of a sudden it's like, you know, a Jewish lesbian and Asian woman. Like, why is that necessary?
I don't know. I feel like people feel like they'll be under heat if they don't announce it, because then they're not giving proper recognition to ethnicity or sexual orientation.
Like, it is noteworthy because, you know, things like this have been so underrepresented, and, you know, it's like about time all this stuff is happening. But we've always said it doesn't matter. None of this should ever matter, you know, and, like, it matters that it's happening now, but by pointing it out, you're making it seem like, I don't know.
It's a big deal, but it's not.
Yeah, this should already be happening, and it is a big deal that it's now finally starting to happen, but I don't know. I don't agree with painting that picture, you know? It's like, it's just not something I agree with. I think it's terribly sexist and racist to just make sure you're pointing that out. I would honestly just say, you know, they've hired Kathleen Sullivan or whoever it is to write this. Okay, we know it's a woman because her name is Kathleen. We didn't know that she was a Jewish person from the Middle East. Like, we don't need to know that, you know?
Right, like who cares? But so, the dead pig reference, right? So, we're at coffee this morning, and it was epic, dude. It was so funny. So, Christian and I, we're sitting there drinking our coffee, you know, socializing with Christian's grandpa, which he is a funny, funny guy. I love that guy.
Yeah.
And he's just telling us about, you know, his younger life, and he was, like, raised on a farm, and, you know, we're trading, like, school stories and stuff, and then, like, he got into, like, how his dad, like, was, like, would teach him, like, how to castrate pigs.
Yeah, and he, like, straight up went, like, step by step and how
of,
to do
like,
it.
Of, like, how to do it. Like, and it was pretty gross. Yeah. And I was just like, I don't want to hear this, but I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to be, like, stop talking, you know?
He talked about, like, castrating him, and he was like, and then we got into butchering. Well, okay, he's from Massachusetts, but, yeah. All my accents are British now because I've just been doing it for so long. But, yeah, you know, he's talking about butchering the pigs and butchering bunny rabbits and skinning them and stuff like that. And you're just like, this coffee, it doesn't seem as appetizing as it did when I came here.
Right.
And there's these other old people there, like, you know, like in their little group, they're like, all our birthdays are in the same month. We need to have a birthday to get together.
Oh, my God.
It was really cool. But, yeah, my grandpa's like 85, and, he likes to tell us stories about, you know, how they played pranks on their teachers and threw spitballs at people. And, you know, his favorite story is this story where he was misbehaving and a teacher, you know, they used to slap your hands with rulers back in the day, you know, when America was great or something like that.
And so,
you know, the teacher told him to stick out his hand so she could slap it. So he stuck out his hand, and then he said she thought I was stupid enough to let her hit my hand. He pulls his hand back, and she slaps herself in the leg, which obviously gets him in more trouble. So, you know, and then he told us a story about, like, you know, the old days they had chalkboards. Guys, we had chalkboards when I was in school. I'm sure you do. You know, early on. And then eventually they went to whiteboards, but they took all this chalk all the chalk powder, wiped it off the board, and then on, like, you know, the eraser, they put it all on her seat, so when she sat down and got up, her ass was full of chalk. You know,
what a legend.
And then he says, like, oh, have you ever done that? Like, of course not. Of course I didn't do that, you know?
Yeah.
But where he grew up and how he grew up, it's all fighting and, you know, the wars and the depression and all that right. stuff. So different times, funny but it's always great to hear. Like, grandparents have such great stories. All my grandparents do. I'm sure you've heard some fantastic stories in your days as well. So,
yeah.
Oh, there was something else we were going to say, right? Wasn't there something?
Nope. That's all the news.
Yeah, that's all the news, all the girl gangs and et cetera. But yeah, guys, we were planning on doing our Deadpool 2 podcast this weekend. Something came up and we have to reschedule. So we're going to see the movie again on Tuesday of this week. So maybe we'll do it Tuesday afterward or on Wednesday or something.
Right.
Thursday, we're seeing Han Solo, a Star Wars story. So that'll be our movie podcast for next weekend.
Right.
And then we'll get back to our Lord of the Rings reviews. Right. So
I think we just like picked like a really bad time to start like the Lord of the Rings, especially just with Avengers coming out and then now Deadpool and then the Solo movie. It's just kind of a bad timing, but we'll get back to it. And, you know, don't worry.
So, guys, there's this little test. They use a weird, an interesting algorithm online to help you rank your Marvel films, your MCU films. I don't know if you've done this yet.
Nope.
But I'm going to do it for you right now. I'm gonna run you through this test, and we're going to see how your films are ranked in the MCU.
Oh, God.
Right? So it's all based on which would you rather watch right now, and it goes between two movies, so I'll do the whole thing for you, all right? First one, Infinity War or The Incredible Hulk?
Infinity War? What?
Thor 1 or Guardians of the Galaxy 1?
Ooh. Oh, that's a hard question. Ooh, hard question, boys. I'll go with Guardians.
Okay. The first Avenger, Captain America, or Thor Ragnarok?
Wait.
The first Captain America or Thor Ragnarok?
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Dark World or Black Panther?
It's very annoying that they keep putting these like Thor movies against like
guys. Scott loves Thor, right? Like, he's one of his favorite Marvel characters. So,
Black Panther,
Iron Man 2 or Civil War?
Ooh, that's a pretty good one. That is a pretty good one.
I really didn't like Iron Man 2, but
let's go with Civil War.
Iron Man 1 or Spider-Man Homecoming?
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Guardians Volume 2 or Age of Ultron?
God, both terrible movies. Both horrible movies. I'll go with... I'll probably... I don't know. They're both terrible movies.
I'm going to say for you Volume 2 because I know you despise Age of Ultron at this point. Yeah. So, The Winter Soldier or The First Avengers? God, I just farted.
I know. Wait, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, or The Avengers?
Avengers.
Okay.
I'm not just bullshitting that. I'd rather watch that.
Iron Man 3 or Doctor Strange?
What? Doctor Strange? What?
The Incredible Hulk or Ant-Man?
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man or Infinity War?
What?
Okay, Infinity War. Captain America, The First Avenger, or Thor 1?
Captain America or...
Thor. Yeah. Thor or Thor Ragnarok?
Ooh, that's a good one. That is like the best one so far. Ooh. I'll go with Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok or Guardians of the Galaxy?
Thor Ragnarok.
Iron Man 2 or Thor the Dark World?
Dark World.
Thor the Dark World or Captain America Civil War?
Civil War.
Civil War or Black Panther?
Black Panther 1.
Age of Ultron or Iron Man 1?
Iron Man 1.
Iron Man 1 or Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Wait, you said Iron Man 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, Iron Man 1.
Iron Man 3 or The Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier or Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange or The Avengers?
First one?
Yeah.
Doctor Strange.
Captain America number 1 or The Incredible Hulk? Okay. Ant-Man, Ant-Man or the First Avenger?
First Avenger.
The First Avenger or Infinity War? Not the First Avengers, the Captain America, the First Avenger.
Or Infinity War? Infinity War.
Infinity War or Thor?
Infinity War.
Infinity War or Guardians of the Galaxy?
Infinity War.
Infinity War or Thor Ragnarok?
Are they like trying to force Infinity War to the top?
Well, no. They just want to see
Infinity War.
Okay. Age of Ultron or Iron Man 2?
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 or Guardians Volume 2?
Iron Man 2.
Really? That surprises me. Iron Man 1 or Iron Man 2?
Iron Man 1.
Thor the Dark World or Iron Man?
Thor.
Spider-Man Homecoming or Thor the Dark World?
Spider-Man.
Homecoming or Civil War?
Homecoming.
Homecoming or Black Panther?
Black Panther.
The Incredible Hulk or Iron Man 3?
Incredible Hulk.
The only one it's going to win. The Incredible Hulk or Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier or Ant-Man?
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier or the first Captain America?
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier or Thor?
Thor.
Thor or the Avengers?
Avengers.
Avengers or Guardians 1?
Guardians.
Guardians or Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange.
Ragnarok or Doctor Strange?
Ragnarok.
Age of Ultron or Iron Man 3?
Can I decline to answer the question?
I'm going to say Age of Ultron.
All right.
Age of Ultron or The Incredible Hulk?
Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk or Guardians Volume 2?
Wait, sorry, was that it?
Hulk or Guardians Volume 2?
Volume 2.
Volume 2 or Ant-Man?
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, Iron Man 2?
You said Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man or Iron Man 1?
Iron Man 1.
Iron Man 1 or the first Captain America?
First Captain America.
Dark World or the first Captain America?
Captain America.
First Captain America or Civil War?
Ooh. Captain America.
Homecoming or the first Captain America?
Homecoming.
Homecoming or Winter Soldier?
That's a hard one. I don't know. That one's pretty. That's a good question. I'll go with Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier or Black Panther? You're in Black Panther. Black Panther or the first Thor?
Black Panther.
Black Panther or the Avengers?
The first one?
Yeah.
Black Panther.
Black Panther or Guardians 1?
Black Panther?
Black Panther or Doctor Strange?
Just thinking Black Panther probably. That's a pretty close one, I feel like, because I really like Doctor Strange a lot.
I think this will be a closer one. Black Panther or Thor Ragnarok?
Oh, Lord.
It's like, the question is, which would you rather watch right now, right? Which to me is almost always going to be Thor Ragnarok, but then again, I think that Black Panther is better just by a hair as a movie, you know?
Right.
So it's like...
Probably Thor Ragnarok, to be honest.
Okay. All right, here's your list. MCU ranking. 1, Infinity War. Would you agree?
I could agree with that.
2, Thor Ragnarok. 3, Black Panther. 4, Doctor Strange. 5, Guardians 1. 6, Avengers 1. 7, Thor 1. 8, Captain America the Winter Soldier. 9, Spider-Man Homecoming. 10, Captain America the First Avenger. 11, Captain America Civil War. 12, Thor the Dark World. 13, Iron Man 1. 14, Ant-Man. 15, Iron Man 2. 16, Guardians Volume 2. 17, The Incredible Hulk. 18, Age of Ultron. And 19, Iron Man 3.
I'd agree with everything, except I'd probably still flip Black Panther and Thor.
You'd put Black Panther just ahead of Thor?
Yeah.
Even though you'd rather watch Thor right now, right? Yeah. So, yeah, my list was pretty accurate as well. When I did it, so mine was Infinity War, Black Panther, Thor, Ragnarok, which would be your same top three. And then four for me is Homecoming, five is Winter Soldier, six is Civil War, seven Doctor Strange, eight Guardians 1, nine Avengers 1, 10 Iron Man 1, 11 Age of Ultron, 12 Guardians Volume 2, 13 First Avenger, 14 Thor, 15 Ant-Man, 16 Dark World, 17 Incredible Hulk, 18 Iron Man 2, and 19 Iron Man 3. There's not a whole lot of difference between our lists.
Yeah.
But
honestly, I thought like Iron Man 1 was going to be higher on that list for me.
Yeah,
like, it's higher
yeah.
on your list, but yeah. I thought it was going to be higher on my list.
Yeah, you put it above quite a bit, but first, it's an interesting algorithm. I think in the end, it shakes out pretty accurately.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was
so
really interesting.
So where can people find this, this test?
So the website is Chuck's Coda, so chuckskoda.com, and then there's like /MCU rank, all that stuff, but I'm sure you can find, if you just Google MCU ranking and then look that up as well, chuckskoda.
Yeah,
and
how
we'll
about
post
this
a link.
Yeah, we'll post a link with that. We'll post it on Twitter probably.
Yeah
That'll be good, don't you?
Yeah, so
that was a fun little test we did there.
Exercise, yeah.
That was very interesting to see how things turned out for me.
Yeah.
I thought there's a few of them, maybe I would put it a little bit higher on my own list. But I mean, for the most part, I agree with like most of it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, is that all we got?
That's all we have. Thank you guys for sticking with us. And if you have questions, make sure you reach out to us. Look us up online, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Vero, all that good stuff. Nerdy Boys Reviews. Check out our YouTube page, which we haven't posted anything on for a while. But, you know, you never know. You never know. And, you know, check out our website, nerdyboysreviews.com. Go to amazon.com, search Nerdy Boys Reviews. Get yourself your very own Nerdy Boys Reviews t-shirt with our faces on them, but not the logos on the t-shirts, because fuck you, Jessica. Yeah, that's it. That's it. We yeah. are your hosts. I'm a Perot.
And I'm a Neuter.
That's everything we have for you guys. We have one message for you, and that is
stay nerdy,
boys.
Neuter.
A coup.